This is DW News, live from Berlin. More vaccines are needed to fight a pandemic that knows no borders. That's the word on the ground at the World Health Summit, underway now in the German capital. Wealthy nations are called on to increase their vaccine contributions to low-income countries. Also coming up on the show, Germany increases police patrols at the Polish border as far-right extremists set up vigilante gangs there in a bid to stop migrants from entering Germany. And after a decade on the run, Colombia's most wanted drug trafficker is behind bars. The suspected gang leader, known as Otoniel, was seized by the Colombian army in an operation near the border with Panama. Hello, I'm Claire Richardson. A warm welcome to the show. The 2021 World Health Summit has begun here in the German capital, Berlin, as well as online. The annual three-day event brings together stakeholders and decision makers from around the world to find solutions to global health challenges. Top of this year's agenda is how to speed up the response to the coronavirus pandemic, with vaccine equality in the spotlight.
Health experts and officials from around the globe have gathered at a former cinema in Berlin, and some are taking part via video conference. The head of the World Health Organization is at the event in person. One of their top goals is the fair distribution of vaccines. The president of the World Health Summit is calling on wealthy nations to be generous.
The situation is definitely not good at the moment. If you look at a map showing vaccine distribution, Africa stands out as the region with the lowest vaccination rates. In many countries, the availability of vaccine doses is a problem. Another problem is the local acceptance of vaccines. In some developing countries, especially in Africa, people are less willing to be inoculated than in wealthy countries. In addition, vaccine deliveries are delayed, and there's a shortage of hospitals and doctors. Germany has already donated millions of vaccine doses to developing nations.
It's not just availability of doses. We need to bring them to the ground, too. With some of our bilateral agreements with some countries in Africa and the world, they just said to us, we are not able to take more doses right now. It's not just the quantity.
The officials and experts here agree that they have to work together and across borders to defeat COVID-19.
And German police have stopped a group of more than 50 right-wing extremists who had converged on the Polish border to take vigilante action against migrants trying to enter Germany. Germany is pushing for a stronger European Union response to prevent Belarus sending migrants across its border into the EU. 800 German officers have already been stationed at the Polish border.
German police have increased the number of spot checks near the Polish border. And they're constantly finding people without proper immigration papers, like this couple from Iraq, who don't want their faces shown. On Saturday night, a German neo-Nazi group attempted to patrol the German-Polish border. The police sent them home. Germany's interior minister has deployed an additional 800 police to the border, and he's demanding a joint European Union solution to the issue. If the European Union doesn't succeed in agreeing on a common European pact on migration, then we'll take steps on a national level. And that could mean an end to free movement at the Polish border. Fellow Conservative and the Premier of the border state of Saxony criticised the European Commission for not supporting Poland. Of course, we have to provide financial help. Only Poland can control its border with Belarus. They know the area, and we can see that they're taking that seriously. This must be done with dignity. And I want to say it clearly, people inside the European Union will be treated with dignity. There are calls to offer non-European Union countries incentives to shelter refugees. An agreement with these countries, similar to the 2016 deal with Turkey, which would see people removed from the European Union in order to remove the incentive for these people to make the dangerous journey in the first place. And that, he says, is the only way to prevent Belarus from weaponizing migration.
Let's turn our attention now to some of the other stories making news around the world. A group of around 2,000 mostly Central American migrants are continuing their journey from southern Mexico to the U.S. border. Mexico requires migrants applying for humanitarian visas or asylum to remain in the border state of Chiapas. But many have grown tired of delays and set off for the U.S. Israel has announced plans to build more than 1,300 homes for Jewish settlers in the occupied West Bank. That's in addition to over 2,000 homes authorized by officials in August. About 475,000 Israeli Jews live in settlements in the West Bank, which are considered illegal under international law. The casino group MGM Resorts has auctioned off 11 of its Picasso artworks in Las Vegas, fetching $109 million. MGM says it wants to make its collection of art displayed in its casinos and hotels more diverse, with more works by women, LGBTQ artists, people of color, and those with disabilities. Zimbabwean writer and filmmaker Tsitsi Dangarembga has been awarded the Peace Prize of the German Book Trade at the Frankfurt Book Fair. The jury said she is not only one of her country's most important artists, but also a widely audible voice of Africa in contemporary literature. And Colombia's most wanted drug lord and alleged leader of the feared Gulf clan is behind bars. Soldiers captured Dairo Antonio Usuga in an operation near the border with Panama. He's accused of drug trafficking, murder, and kidnapping.
Colombia's most wanted, caught in his jungle hideout. Dairo Antonio Usuga, known as Otoniel, eluded authorities for years.
Alias Otoniel.
Otoniel was the most feared narco-trafficking leader in all the world. A murderer of police officers, soldiers, social leaders, a recruiter of children. This is only paralleled by the fall of Pablo Escobar in the 1990s. The operation to capture Otoniel involved more than 500 soldiers and special forces. The narco-trafficker is accused of spending decades building the so-called Gulf Clan cartel, controlling much of the smuggling of cocaine through northern Colombia. Over those years, he allied himself with rebel groups, both right and left wing, to ensure his survival in the jungle. He allegedly oversaw an army of assassins who kept northern Colombia in fear as they fought for control of lucrative smuggling routes. Capturing Otoniel is a victory for the state and the rule of law against the biggest threat in Colombia, drug trafficking. That may be, but Otoniel's arrest comes amid a surge in the production of coca, the raw material used to make cocaine, to new levels, despite decades of efforts to eradicate the drug trade.
And for more on this story, let's talk to Elizabeth Dickinson, senior analyst at the Crisis Group for Colombia. And she joins me now from Bogota. A very warm welcome to the show. And we've just heard what a massive operation this was. Hundreds of soldiers raiding a jungle hideout. What was the final piece of the puzzle that led to Otoniel's arrest?
Well, obviously, this is someone that military intelligence would have been following for some amount of time. And apparently, they did finally have some information on where he would be. And as you said, really an extravagant operation to go in and get him. These sorts of large-scale surgical captures are something that the Colombian military has a deep level of experience with, and we saw that on display today. The question now really is what comes next? What comes next for the Gulf Clan, the armed organization and trafficking group that he led, and what comes next in terms of the region where this armed group is operating?
Now, President Iván Duque has called this the biggest hit to drug trafficking in Colombia in the last century and even suggested it could mark the end of the Gulf Clan. Do you share that view?
No, unfortunately, I think the pattern that we've seen in Colombia with large captors like this is something of the opposite, that in fact they tend to spark a new wave of violence as differing wings within the armed organization will compete for control of what has been left behind, the sort of spoils of the business. Now, this is particularly worrying in the case of the Gulf Clan because it's an organization that we know already had deep splits within it. Someone with the magnitude and the historical record of Otoniel, this is someone who was involved in criminal activity in Colombia for three decades at a very high level. He was able to unite more or less those different factions. But I would expect that there would be competition now among his successors as to what would happen next. And that very well involves humanitarian fallout that we should all be very aware of and keeping an eye on in the coming weeks and months ahead.
Now, are there any obvious successors to Otoniel who may be able to take over for him?
Certainly, there's a hierarchy of leadership that existed within the organization. But even if that leadership hierarchy is followed, again, something that we see happen again and again across Colombia is when the leader of one of these organizations is arrested, his successor will try to demonstrate control, often through violent demonstrations of influence. For example, assassinations of prominent figures within the society, really trying to show his grip and control over the territory. So, again, I think this is obviously this capture is a very significant moment for Colombia. I hope that there is planning and are measures in place in the region where the capture took place and also where this group is operating to ensure that the civilian population doesn't suffer the fallout.
Elizabeth Dickinson from the Crisis Group for Colombia, thank you so much for joining us on DW News. Sports news now, and in the Bundesliga, bragging rights were up for grabs as Cologne hosted local rivals Leverkusen. And the visitors were looking to recover from last week's thrashing at the hands of Bayern, but they came up against a Cologne team that refused to give up.
It was derby number 67 between Cologne and neighbours Bayer Leverkusen, who won the last meeting 3-0. And after a big defeat against Hoffenheim last week, Cologne had another reason to grab the points at home. But it was Leverkusen who took the lead on 15 minutes through Patrick Schick, thanks to Diaby's pass. Just 2 minutes later, Karim Belarbi added the second one for Leverkusen, making the way back for Cologne even harder. Ryan Derby is always heated, and Cologne are not easy opponents. Jonas Hector's pass to Anthony Modeste was on point, and the Frenchman cut Leverkusen's lead on 63 minutes. Modeste wasn't finished there. His header 20 minutes later gave the hosts a draw, and him his 50th goal with Cologne. Friendly finish to this derby and a golden point for the Billy Goats. Not so for Leverkusen, who lost ground on their Champions League rivals.
And high-flying Union Berlin were looking to move into the Champions League places with a win in Stuttgart, but they were stunned by a late equalizer from the hosts. Taiwo Awoniyi put the Berliners in front after 31 minutes. And it looked like they would win after Stuttgart had a man sent off. But a deflected shot from Wahid Fagir 3 minutes into injury time left Union disappointed, while the Stuttgart fans celebrated an unlikely point. And Wolfsburg have sacked coach Mark van Bommel after Saturday's 2-0 home defeat to Freiburg. The Dutchman had started the season well, with the Wolves winning their first four league games. The Freiburg loss was their fifth in a row in all competitions and was the final straw for the club hierarchy. Van Bommel said he was surprised and disappointed with the decision. So let's take a look now at all the results from Bundesliga match day 9. As we saw, Cologne drew with Leverkusen and Stuttgart held Union Berlin. In Sunday's late game, Bochum beat Frankfurt. Table toppers Bayern won on Saturday, while Dortmund also went to stay a point behind the champions. Leipzig thrashed Fürth and Freiburg beat Wolfsburg. Hertha Berlin beat Gladbach in Saturday's late game. And on Friday, Mainz crushed Augsburg. And the Cumbre Vieja volcano on the Spanish island of La Palma continues to spew lava and shows no sign of stopping. Lava flows have destroyed more than 2,200 buildings since the volcano became active again on September 19th. Lava now covers nearly 900 hectares of land on the island. Earthquake activity also remains high, with dozens of tremors since the island was shaken by a magnitude 4.9 quake on Saturday. That is your news update at this hour. Our reporter series is up next. We go to India and the disputed region of Kashmir. There's, of course, always more news and analysis on our website, dw.com, or you can check us out on social media at DW News. I'm Claire Richardson in Berlin. For me and the team here, thank you so much for joining.